fighting for America.
He put a Democrat in the office of governor of Idaho, and things will change within 90 days.
Well, yeah, we'll all be worse off, Steve.
Hold on.
Fighting for Idaho.
By the way,
what part of socialism is not Otter part of?
You know, this is such an optimistic. This is such an optimistic.
Tom! He gave his
core.
Fighting for you.
Gun-toting Pat, what do you have to say here? Hopefully it's more. Here, hold on. You have to speak into the microphone.
I said if BS was concrete, you'd be a superhighway.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, thank you for joining us here at 580 KIDO. Dave Petzl will be along to give you news about your money. What a volatile week it was in the stock market last week. And as you heard, just people going crazy over Ebola and what to do. I think the scary part about this is that the government still doesn't know. And if you heard over the weekend, they hired Ron Klain, who, if you've watched that HBO special concerning Bush v. Gore, was played by Kevin Spacey. Yes, that Kevin Spacey, where Mr. Klain was talking about being political and being hyper-political. This is the man that's going to bring America together to fight Ebola. That's something to consider. And by the way, most of our troops that are going there will not get, according to the Gateway Pundit here at 580 KIDO, won't get full protection hazmat suits for the Ebola mission in West Africa. Wow. We'll talk more about that coming up. Joining us now is Dave Petzl. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. Where's my coffee?
If you look at your phone, I texted you about that.
Oh, you did?
No. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I will look at my phone later.
All right. 580 KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about the markets.
Rough. Volatile.
Right.
It's no doubt it makes people nervous, Kevin. No doubt it does. But I always try to remind people that corrections are normal, certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives.
Right.
And that's what we have is a correction. The thing.
Big corrections, though.
No, it's more volatile. We're not even down 10%, so it's not a bigger correction yet. It could be, obviously. We have a bad week in here. We'll get to that point. But right now, it's not. From a percentage perspective, it's not. It's the wild swings, I think, that trouble people or make them feel it's bigger than normal.
Well, I mean, again, but you hear about, they've lost. How much of the percentage of the market at its peak have we lost?
We're off, I think, 6%.
6%. So, again, whether it's the media or other people, I mean, people are concerned. And should they be?
Yeah. No. They shouldn't because, again, it's normal corrections. The volatility, I believe, is what is really frightening. But I don't see anything more than, out there. I talked about this Saturday. Kevin, this isn't 2008, and I know that that's what people think markets do. I know they do. They may not say it, but we've gone through the two worst bear markets of any investor's life just in the last few years, right? We had the 2000 through 02 where the Internet bubble burst. The average stock didn't go down much during that time, but 2008, that was the one that everybody, that will probably measure it for the rest of our lives, because that one took everything down. It took the good, the bad, the leverage, the non-leverage. It took all companies down significantly. It took bonds down. It was a really bad correction, but that was a 50% move down. That is very rare, and it just simply doesn't look like 2008 in the world right now. We don't have that much leverage out there.
Indeed. What about Ebola? How big of an impact is that having?
I think it's news. I don't think it's an impact on the market. I really don't. I'm going to agree with some of the folks out there but their job is to report something every day, something frightening every day. And so whether it's...
Wow.
Well, I'm not
aren't
saying you,
part,
you do that.
Aren't you part of the news media?
I'm afraid so, yeah. I guess I am. But the answer is I don't have to make up stuff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I don't think it's a lack of news. I think it's a lack of financial news. There just isn't that much. But when they go out and talk about every little thing out there, that's because there isn't something to report every minute of every day.
Well, what's causing the correction, if you will?
I think the fact that we've gone up 300% in 5 years It's time for a correction. And then you lay five things over the top of the market. You lay what's going on in Russia, that Europe is looking like it's heading into recession. They're moving towards austerity in Europe. Maybe they're not now, but that was the direction they were going. China is slowing down. And then we have mixed economic numbers here as well. But predominantly, I would say our biggest problem is we have no leader in Washington, D.C. So that has been this five-pronged put down where finally the market goes, okay, I give. It's enough. I just don't think Ebola is in that category.
We go to the phones, and our friend Gene is with us here at 580KIDO. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, my friend. How are you today, Kevin?
Great. It was great to see you at Chick-fil-A.
Well, great to see you. You know, the pear meets the bell pepper. How you think about that?
It was a match made in vegetable heaven.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Now, listen, I was listening to you this morning about, you know, about these folks at the Hitching Post and how they're going to either go to jail or be out of business, like the cake baker and the florist and everything else. You know, I'm real sick at my stomach about this, and I'm just wondering how long it's going to take people to wake up and say, enough. You know, these alternative lifestyle folks, they probably should have stayed in the closet. And I got a sneaking hunch that before long, they're going to wish they had stayed in the closet, because I don't know how much longer people are going to stand by and just say, you know, okay, we're going to bend over and take this, because, you know, this is America. And
it's a great verb there, bend over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah, literally. and on another point, the Ebola thing.
We're back
now,
to Ebola.
I know there's been a lot of talk in the movies and stuff about this and that and the other. But back in the day, in the 70s, when I was in the military, I remember a company commander telling us one time that he said, you know, time's going to come, fellas, when the art of war is going to be won by bugs, not bullets and bombs. Bugs don't kill buildings. Bullets and bombs kill buildings. You know, case in point, Agent Orange was designed to kill the foliage so we could root out the enemy, but what it wound up doing was killing the enemy and leaving the foliage alone. Believe me, I was there when that was dropped, and it was no fun. So it's gonna be bugs and super bugs and this, that, and the other that is going to actually take out, you know, some of the enemy, but in the process, it's going to take out some of the populace, too. There's going to be more collateral damage, really, I think, than there's going to be combatant damage. And I'm really fearful for this because, you know, everybody says, well, Texas breathes a sigh of relief. Africa breathes a sigh of relief. But have you heard the old saying, the calm before the storm?
Well, yeah, let me get to Dave Petzo on that, Gene.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Have a great one.
You too. You know, Gene brings up some terrific points here at 580KIDO that do we really know if we're out of the woods on Ebola? And this could impact travel. It could impact entertainment. It could even impact, the gym industry, because no one's going to want to go to a gym if, you know, there's sweat there on the the exercise cycle.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Kevin, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You ask if it was a market, it was the reason the market went down. No, I don't think it is, because it's not a problem at this point. Could it be? Of course. And that's why I think they're throwing everything they can at it. And whether we are going to see an impact or have already seen an impact on travel, I think that's pretty clear. If this doesn't start clearing up or if we have more outbreak, why would people risk it? It just doesn't make any sense that they would take a risk. Let's just wait for a few months, and so people will start deferring their vacations.
I don't think the government knows what they're doing.
They don't.
Yeah.
Will they learn quick enough? I believe so. But I think your point is well taken. They don't know what they're doing.
Right. I mean, the idea that everybody's safe after 21 days, well, who says? You have the World Health Organization saying it's 54 days. Someone else says it's 30 days.
That's right.
I mean, we're talking about lives, and let's go to the airlines. I mean, is there liability? We've talked about this at 580KIDO, that, you know, you had the nurse with Ebola on. She was clear to go, and that plane went four or five more places. You travel a lot. You know those aren't really the healthiest places to hang out in to begin with.
No, if you want to get sick, go ahead and get on an airplane for a while. That'll certainly you'll get plenty of germs. It isn't the most. Obviously, it's not. They have no time to clean it during, you know, over between flights.
And it's overbooked, and people have germs and everything else.
And nobody cares about their fellow human beings. We know that. And so you do have a circumstance where this is not clean, and so it easily could spread. And that's what SARS did. It spread very easily. But Ebola is more difficult to catch, and so that's a benefit. But Kevin, we haven't even talked yet about the fact that it is clearly a disease that mutates fairly quickly. That's what the doctors are saying. That's what they're studying now. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. So it's they're chasing something that's moving.
But you see, you bring up a good point. You're saying the doctors are saying that it's easily to get it. And then everybody, whoa, don't panic here. And there doesn't seem to be a consistent message. And then we have the troops going over there with no hazmat suits.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit under supplied, would you say?
I would say that would be the best place to buy, and of course now the prep market going crazy.
It is. That's the hot stock, right, is the hazmat suit companies.
Exactly, for either recreational things for Halloween or for the real thing. Locally, what's going on in the business community?
Well, Micron continues to it got beat down pretty big. What was it like? Not last week, but the week before, it was down some 16% just for the week. That's a big drop for a company that just the week prior had announced blockbuster earnings, and the stock flew. So there's a lot of volatility in that sector. I just think it needs to settle back down like the rest of the market. But it's doing. Micron is doing very, very well, continuing to hire. And as far as I can see around town, Kevin, and hear from business people, business is good. It's getting better.
Seems to be good for a certain segment, but still, and we've talked about this for over the 5 years that we've been together. There's no correlation to getting decent jobs, though, anywhere.
No, it's very difficult to get a decent job. Unless you're an engineer, you can get a job at Micron. But HP continues to lay people off. It is very difficult out there. There's no question for those better jobs. But the business conditions, the underlying economy, things are getting better here. There's a lot of building, as we see, going on. But beyond that, businesses are much more confident that people are going to show up. And let's face it, with interest rates this low, if you didn't refinance before, you got another shot at it. 30-year drop below 4% again this past week. So you have a chance to get a mortgage for below 4%. And also with gas prices coming down, people are getting a cut. Maybe we will see some retail pickup.
And right into the retail season more.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave Petzo with us, Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. Let's talk a little bit about the state of Idaho. We've got this big election coming up. We have people charging that we need more jobs here. How are we doing as far as the state goes? What are your thoughts as far as the economy and this election? Does it really make a difference who's running the state government?
I think to a degree it sets a tone for how pro-business or maybe not so pro-business, more pro-labor, if you will. So it sets a tone. We've seen real growth in the country, for example, at the right-to-work states, right? I mean, they're significantly ahead of the not right for work. What do you say? The pro union? I don't know what to say about that, but the not right
collective
for work.
Bargaining.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And so there are differences. It's a tone that is set from the top, and I liken it to a football team to any good business. Look, any good business does not run day-to-day operations because it all runs through the CEO or the governor's office or what have you. But the tone is set, and both the blame as well as the praise should go to the people at the top because they are setting a tone and a message all the way through the system.
So back to our question, so you think that does make a difference? We've had charges of we don't have enough good jobs here, although more people are moving here. And I've talked to a lot of people in the building industry. In fact, we had several who joined us at our anniversary party, if you will, saying we're building all these homes, and yet no one can afford to live in them except the people that have cashed out from California. Are you seeing that?
No, I think that's overly simplistic, but, you know, On the other hand, though,
but where are the jobs to support these elaborate structures?
Again, Micron's hiring. There's some of that, and a lot of people we're seeing startup businesses
as
well.
Are working 7 jobs just to pay for.
They are, and Kevin, that's not different. You and I both work 2 and 3 jobs too. You know, it's the way you get started, then you get rolling, and then hopefully someday you generate your own business. But anyway, people are moving here. Just yesterday, I played golf with a couple that had discovered Boise, and that was so what brought you here? Family? No. No. My wife visited here one time, and I can work off of a computer. And so he's a recruiter. He's a national recruiter for a healthcare company, and he just can do it from anywhere. They chose Boise, Idaho, like many people have. And that's one of the reasons we're booming here.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we are losing people. Young people can't find jobs. And you and I have talked about this. You go to the Village at Meridian, hey, that's great. It's upscale. Where do you get the bread and butter things? I mean, look, right now, if you're working construction, life is good.
Mm-hmm.
But if that construction doesn't continue, we've seen an incredible amount of building here.
Right.
You know, where do we sustain this economy?
Well, you have a good point, but it's not just here. It's systemic everywhere. I mean, if you're in California, you say, well, where are the good jobs? Well, there's people they're in Silicon Valley. Well, how many people get to have those jobs? 0.1% of the smartest people out of the colleges get a chance to have an interview at one of those places.
Right.
Right? So nobody else does. And I promise you that the best and brightest kids that come out of our institutions here, they're working. Everybody's dogging them to come to work for them, too. It's the same thing, Kevin, everywhere. It's not Idaho's issue.
Right. You want to remind everybody, the city getaway is San Francisco, and Sean Hannity will be your second chance today. So go to our loyalty program at 580kido.com. You can win tickets to anywhere. If you were going anywhere, where would you go?
Where would I go for?
Just to get away, yeah.
You know what's a good getaway?
You're always leaving. You're.
I've never been to Tahiti. I got to try Tahiti sometime. If you're talking about a real getaway, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about the continental United States.
Continental United States. Well, this time of year, I got to stay right at home. This is just absolutely gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
This is where I want to be.
You're such a panderer. You're such a panderer. You're such a panderer. 728 at 580KIDO. Back to, what we were talking about, jobs and such. So for people that, you know, are dealing with student loans, as we, you know, this is going to continue to be a problem. And it's gone underreported a lot of places. You have people in their 60s still dealing with student loans.
Yeah, it is a problem, and it's a huge problem. It's not one really for us to address other than saying we have to minimize it. I don't believe that the government should be involved. It'll become a train wreck like every government program does. So the idea that the government is going to somehow fix the student loan, let's just quit allowing students to get $200,000 and $300,000 in debt by the time they come out. It is a problem, but we have got to get people a cheaper path to an education. If you don't have that kind of money, fine, then you don't. And we are. Kevin, I'm just impressed as heck of some of the changes. I think within 5-10 years, you can get a college degree for very little online. There's so many online programs now, and the price is coming down, and we also have all of these community colleges popping up like Western Idaho.
College of Western Idaho, indeed, but you know, you still wonder long term where the gig's going to come from. Getting that ROI on investment. You have a lot of people that, look, I love the arts. I think they're great.
Yeah.
And they get these elaborate degrees, but they can't get the ROI on them.
No, you can't. And I think it's a good point. There's nothing wrong with getting a liberal arts degree, but then you have to have a practical degree with it. You know, a minor or something, you know, or minor in that, but major in business and finance and things that actually have some use in the world to make money. I mean,
right.
You're right. You have to have a practical application.
What should we be looking out for this week?
More volatility, I'm afraid. It's just it's not quite done yet. I hope it's done. I'd love to see it done.
Right.
I'd love to think that Wednesday at the opening was the drop, you know, when it went down 460 points, that was the low. And it might be. It really might be. We don't know where it is, and I know people have proclaimed that. There's more, or people are just as certain that that's the bottom. I don't know what it is, but right now, just watch the earnings numbers. We've got like 25% of the S&P 500 is reporting this week alone. IBM had a huge miss this morning, gigantic miss. That accounts for all the Dow points down this morning. So again, hopefully some stabilization with some decent earnings reports. Hopefully everybody doesn't report like IBM did.
Our great friend Dave Petzo with us. You're listening. By the way, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Always a pleasure. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
And Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, men.
And good morning. Welcome to Tuesday morning at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller, Dave Burnett, ready to start your day. And, you know, Dave, I'm sitting here thinking about a few things. Can Ebola help the governor?
Can Ebola help the our governor?
Governor Otter, yes. America's governor. Idaho's governor.
I guess. Well, I guess it gives him a chance to look gubernatorial.
Right. He had a big news conference yesterday that the state is doing everything that they can. I go, wow, that makes sense. Of course, shouldn't they have done that maybe last week or 2 weeks ago? I know he was on the bus tour.
You know, I don't know. I think it probably took some time for the state to put themselves together for this particular outbreak. So I'm going to guess it probably took several days to just get everybody on the same page. I mean, if you were to come in here to the radio station, this isn't a defense or an accusation, but if you were to come into the radio station and say, I want everybody to be ready for a nuclear blast, it would take us a little while to get all our ducks in line to go, oh, wow, okay. So I would assume that it would take a little while to make specific plans so you came off sounding somewhat credible. I mean, our federal government didn't sound very credible because they didn't have their ducks in a line.
Well, good point on that one. However, I do think that, back to the original question, I think this could help him, and far be it from anybody on the radio to criticize a politician. However, I'm sitting here thinking about Governor Otter and using the power of the incumbency. And when have we ever seen that work to perfection? Remember Clinton's second term when it looked like he was going to get run by, was it Bob Dole? I guess it was Bob Dole.
Bob Dole.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, he started citing these executive orders. I'm citing an executive order for clean sidewalks. Hey, the president's for clean sidewalks.
Yeah.
And every day it was something like that. And I was thinking, wow, maybe somebody in the Otter camp should have been doing that as opposed to, I don't know what they've been doing. I saw that and I go, wow, that's a brilliant move politically.
Well, I think, you know, what I have seen going on is you had A.J. Belukov coming out saying, I'm for strong schools, which I don't know that anyone's for weak schools. and so then the government reacted, me too, I am too, see what I've done. So you had a lot of that going on. But that is the power of the incumbency, because the governor can come out and say, you know, we've prepared, we've done as best as we can to be ready, you know, for whatever, and which is the right answer. You know, we're as prepared as we can be for a fluid situation, I think was his exact line. Which is the right answer. But see, right now, if Bujak or A.J. Belukov came out and said, me too, I think we should be prepared, it carries no weight because you have no authority. So that is the power of the incumbency, to be able to make gubernatorial-like statements and have the power of the office behind it.
Right, and the power of the, and it used to be a word we could use all the time, insurgency, but now it has obviously a different meaning, but the power of the insurgent candidate is to lob whatever you can at the incumbent, because they have to run against record when you're an unknown, like Mr. Belukov, you know, not business-wise, but politically, you don't have a record to run on. And apparently there's nothing in his closet, because people would have, well, he made a bad business deal. I guess the guy's pretty brilliant when it comes to business.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this so far, in my opinion, in the gubernatorial race, there hasn't been a lot of mudslinging, per se. I mean, think about it. Has there been any personal assaults or mudslinging?
Well, I think this new ad could cross the line where they talk about cronyism. They talk about insider deals, maybe. But it's all factually based.
Well, if it is mudslinging, they've done a good job to structure it so that it looks all factually based.
Right.
Whether it is fact or whether it isn't fact, you know, that's up to other people to decide. But, it at least is structured so that it doesn't look like, you know, he's a bum.
The standard, I think, for mudslinging would be the Brian Smith, Mike Simpson race.
Yes.
And I really think, you know, Mr. Smith, and maybe we should get him on here. He was such a dynamic character, such an engaging personality, being facetious here. He didn't deserve what he got when, hey, we called. And here's the ad. Yeah, I just called Brian Smith and I handed him an envelope of cash. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't deserve that. Now, was he engaging and personally relatable? No, but you don't really elect people to do that. So.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we do. That's what engaging and personable is what people go and vote for.
Right.
You know, if you were to take some of the politicians of decades gone by and run them today, they would come up, well, he's trying kind of just factual. I'm not going to vote for him.
Well, I always like it when people say, let's go back to Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. Those days are gone.
Yes. Yeah, those days are past. That is just part of the past. Move along. Nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah, because both sides are not going to do this. Okay, so I've got something else for you here at 580KIDO, but what do you have this morning?
Just a couple of national notes. Oscar De La Renta, he's a guy designed, Jackie Onassis and all of those people's big fashion designer. He has died. I guess he'd be the guru for decades for fashion. And then the whole Monica Lewinsky story coming out now. As old Monica's come out saying that Drudge ruined my life.
Old Monica, I like how you put that. She's like 42, something like that.
Yeah. The Drudge report ruined her life.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it your behavior with the former president that
she
ruined
loved
your
him.
Life?
She loved him.
Well, good for her.
She loved
but
him.
Wasn't it that ruined your life?
Don't you understand love, Dave Burnett?
No, I guess I don't.
She
How is it that
him.
The Drudge report? Oh, I see, because they exposed you.
Man.
Take some personal responsibility, people.
Mike Isikoff got scooped on his own story out of Newsweek. That was the first story when they decided to spike it, and Drudge somehow got it. And fascinating when you think of Monica Lewinsky, her life really pretty much destroyed. Now, you familiar with Jake Tapper of CNN?
Yes.
Yeah, I met Jake Tapper on the phone about 20 years ago. His big first national story when he was freelancing in Washington was he did a story, I Dated Monica Lewinsky.
Wow, that's quite the story then.
Yeah, and it was funny because he was this unknown guy, and somebody who was working for a congressman said, hey, you got to interview this guy from the Washington Weekly. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, he wrote this article, I Dated Monica Lewinsky. So a young Jake Tapper and a young Kevin Miller at the time, we talked about that. And it's funny, throughout my travels, I've had a chance to talk to him about it. In fact, we had him on here. And I think, the last time we had him on, I think I alluded to that of his first big break, if you will. But when you think of Jake Tapper, so serious, so this, so that, you don't think of Monica Lewinsky. And by the way, you look at Monica Lewinsky, she dated Stephanopoulos or went out with him a couple times, I think.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. See, we can't tell you about the national debt. We can't tell you about the jobs report, but we can tell you who Monica Lewinsky dated, or at least I can.
Yes. Bad as that. How bad is that? But, yeah, so she's come back out public, got her Twitter account for the very first time. So she has Twitter now, and her first tweet was, here we go. good for you, Monica. Guess what? I'm not following.
Man, boy.
So she has opened herself up for it. I mean, she put herself on Twitter. People are going to blast her.
I think you're looking for that.
No, I think that's what she's hoping for. I'm guessing she has a book or something out.
Probably another book. She was selling handbags and did Jenny Craig for quite some time. I have a question for you.
Okay.
And we should probably get our friend Ken Ivory on this week to talk about this. Front page of the paper, Cecil Andrist is begging the president to make the Boulder White Cloud region a national monument. What are your thoughts?
Well,
since you know much more about the topic and the issue than I do.
I'm not real big on the federal government taking over more land, but I think they're kind of running that land anyway. So we'll see what happens. That whole area has been, you know, kind of debated back and forth, wilderness, not wilderness. So, you know, Mike Simpson, I know, has been pushing his wilderness bill again.
He wants to save it. Here's the thing that gets me here at 580KIDO. You know, the feds are taking over everything. And who started that? Clinton. You know, and every year, and we hear this from a lot of advocates, hey, let the state take over. Does the state have enough money to handle these things?
I think probably not when it comes to fire suppression, when it comes to a lot of it. Very expensive to run. You wouldn't think it would be, but very expensive to run wild land. So, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 when it comes to letting the state run it or if the Fed keeps running it. But, you know, Idaho has a lot of federally owned land. Probably behind Alaska, but right up there, ranking up there. Alaska, obviously, with the most.
Alaska with the most. Hey, coming up at 6:05, we've got the author of Clinton Inc., Daniel Harper. So we'll ask him a little bit about Monica Lewinsky. We'll ask him a little bit about Hillary. Are you excited about Hillary coming back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, not at all. You know, people say, and I've had people say, you know, I think it should be Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. No, no. But I don't know. That may be what we're saddled with.
Does Jeb Bush have the fire in the belly, the body, the belly at 580KIDO? I mean, I think, and I don't care what anybody says. Well, then why are you asking me, Kevin? That's a good point, Dave. Anyway, in 08, I think Bush could have beaten Obama. They talk about Bush fatigue. He's so different from his brother. I think in 12, he could have done something. His window might have closed.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, it's something I think that Hillary Clinton will fight. And I've talked to a number of, at least they're Idaho Democrats, which would be different than a New York Democrat. But a number of staunch Democrats say, no, they're tired of all of it. They're tired of the Clintons, tired of the Bushes, they're tired of all
of that. But who are you going to choose from? Biden? Elizabeth Warren?
We'll see. I mean, at this point, before when George Bush was in office, nobody thought we'd get Barack Obama.
I got to say this about George Bush, as opposed to his daddy and his brother. Mm-hmm. You never questioned that he had the fire in the belly. When he ran, he ran. It wasn't, remember when Poppy ran for re-election? Well, I think I'm going to run. I think I'm not going to run. I think I'm going to run. I think I'm not going to run.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't tell you right now. What's his name? Ran last time? Mitt Romney. Running or not?
Mitt might be running again.
Is he or is he not?
I've told people before, even though he's denied it, I go, there's no way that guy's not running. And by the way, speaking of Mitt Romney, I'm surprised that we haven't seen the Mitt Romney ad for Governor Otter. I'm surprised he didn't cut one when he came into town to cut one for Mike Simpson. I got to believe that that's out there. Maybe the governor's doing well in eastern Idaho and he doesn't need Mitt Romney, but I can't believe that we don't have the Mitt Romney ad here.
Well, maybe it will break later. Maybe they're waiting for
Two weeks from the big election day today, right?
Well, see, I mean, in all honesty, for those who are not political geeks, they're just going to start paying attention maybe this weekend.
Ooh, if then.
Yeah.
By the way, can we have more of a goofy situation involving the state school superintendent race?
Goofy as in, gosh, that kind of goofy?
Well, and I don't know if Ibarra is going to win. She's the Republican. You got Jones that I think is going to win in the Democrat. And here's the skinny on this. Apparently now, and maybe you be the, you're the arbiter in this one.
Oh, boy.
Okay, we've got the issue involving the plagiarism. I think there was another issue involving her. I can't remember what it was with Ibarra. Now, there's a story on she had to clarify her marriage status.
Oh, Ibarra?
Yeah.
How did she have to clarify it?
According to Bill Roberts, the intrepid reporter, over 30 years, I think, experience or whatever, in the you know, since 87.
Been printing the news for years and years.
Exactly. Ibarra acknowledges that she and her husband, Matthew Ibarra, were married in 99 after she and her previous husband were divorced following their move to Mountain Home in 96. My husband was in the military and we traveled and I was able to substitute teach a lot. We landed in Mountain Home. We decided to stay here. This is where my son was born and raised. When asked how long she and her husband were married, she said nearly 20 years. Ibarra and her husband have been married 16 years, saying she wasn't trying to cover up her divorce. She was responding to the question, blah, blah, blah. She said she does not consider her first husband family and didn't make the decision about the divorce when we talked. My brain doesn't operate in the past. Ibarra is vague on her first marriage. She said she doesn't recall exactly how long she was married and doesn't know precisely when she was divorced. It's been so long ago. Now, I don't know. You've never been divorced. I've been divorced. I can tell you to the minute to the second how long it was and the whole details of the whole thing because it was a painful experience. That's just the way I look at it, and I don't know if other people view it that way as well. Maybe she did put it in the past, but Dave Burnett, is this a big issue?
You know, maybe it's one of those things she just didn't really want to talk about and kind of brushed it off to the side and, you know, move on. Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
I don't know.
Oh, by the way, Dave Burnett, I forgot. You know, is this what we need to know? A, her marriage. B, she didn't vote. And C, we had the plagiarism incident. So are these legitimate stories?
Well, I think there are issues to be raised and issues to be answered. I think with anyone, if there's a question, it should be answered.
Right. Now, I think the voting is a big issue. Obviously, plagiarism when we're talking about education is a big issue. The third one, the marriage, is that something that we really need to know about?
Boy, you know, that's tough. I guess you could count in that, you know, it's something that...
Maybe if you're running for governor.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that weighs into, you know, a person's personality as to, you know, what happened. We don't need all the nitty-gritty dirt.
Yeah, state school superintendent. Okay, she wasn't forthcoming about her first marriage. Okay, who is?
Yeah, I mean, it's an embarrassing point for anyone. I don't care if they're a donkey or an elephant. You know, if a marriage fails, there's a bit of embarrassment there. If it was a nasty dispute and turned ugly, you don't want to drag all that up, and you don't want to drag your ex into it.
Well, what does that have to do with schools?
Well, I guess some people see it as families. I don't know. For the superintendent position to me, it's not that important. But that's just me. Other people want to make an issue of it.
Right. Well, we all have issues.
Yes, we do, Kevin. And my issue right now is traffic. As you're coming out of Canyon County, your traffic.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
558, 49 degrees and wet in the city of trees. K. Millie in the morning. Coming up, are you ready? Are you ready for Hillary Clinton in 2016? I know it's only 2014. We'll have the very latest from Daniel Harper, author of Clinton, Inc. How do the Clintons do it? We'll break that down for you and what it means for the president and really how public policy is influenced by politics. That's one of the items. I guess we could call this Ebola Tuesday. We're going to hear about the nation's defense, the nation's response to this deadly virus. Is it worse than SARS? Is it worse than anything else that we've ever encountered? Liz Peek of Fox News will join us. We will get with her. And we will do a team coverage of Ebola in the 7 o'clock hour. We will hear from folks from the University of Idaho to critique the state's response. You heard the governor yesterday come out and talk about, is the state ready? We're doing as much as we can. Is that enough for you? And by the way, and I ran out of time with Dave Burnett, I guess this is a question I should ask you on our poll. Do you believe in a flu shot? How many people really get the flu shot? I know a lot of people here at the broadcast center get them. I used to work for a guy that would give free flu shots, and he was all about it. On the other hand, many people think that you can do better without it. So we will talk more about that coming up here at 580 KIDO. Once again, 49 in Meridian. Remember, you can always check us out anytime. Great stories, great entertainment at 580KIDO.com. Your home for Kevin Miller when Kevin Miller isn't here. Keep it here. Stay informed.